The following audio of a GOP event that took place at the Dutch's Daughter restaurant in Frederick County, Maryland, is brought to you by the sponsors of Frederick.com. Go to Frederick.com and do business with the businesses listed there. They bring you this community content. Hope you enjoy.
Dino Flores, the chairman of the Central Committee, and I would like to at this time turn over the microphone to the Sheriff of Frederick County and the former Central Committee Chairman, Chuck Jenkins, to introduce the honor guard for the Sheriff's Department.
Good evening, fellow Republicans and friends. As the flag of the United States is posted this evening, let us just take a moment in silence to reflect on those students who lost their lives, those who were wounded, and those families who suffered the senseless and tragic losses at Virginia Tech Monday. Let's also think of those in this community who have children and family that attend a university, and though they were not injured, they suffered emotionally. Also in this moment of silence, include those in our armed forces who make the ultimate sacrifices and the sacrifices of their families so we may live in a free society. The sacrifices by those we honor tonight and how we respond to these events will define the course of this nation. Let's all rise, please, for the honor guard posting of the flag. Please join Corporal Tim Brooks of the Marine Corps Reserve in our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Detail over there. Right. Over.
Thank you, Mel. Be seated. Corporal Brooks would like to recognize some special guests that we have here this evening.
At this time, I want to recognize some of our guests that are here from the United States Marine Corps. Where are you, Marines? Go ahead and stand up so everybody can see you.
See your people and see as we gather in harmony and in friendship. Father, we seek your blessings this evening and we do acknowledge our shortcomings and our failures. Grant unto those this day who serve in the name of freedom, in the name of the United States, grant unto them grace and mercy upon them. Be with them and all who suffer the separation of loved ones who serve in harm's way. Father, we pray for the families of the students and all who have witnessed evil firsthand at Virginia Tech. May the strength of your love extend into their lives, anoint their hearts and their minds, let them know that they are loved. Father, we who pledge our lives to your service and those who serve this nation understand, as President Reagan said, without God, democracy will not and cannot endure. May your peace now abound in our lives, and may our freedom and this country continue to follow the promise of your love and your strength. God bless each of us, and God bless the United States of America. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to begin dinner shortly, and after a period of time where everybody's had a little bit of food in their stomach, we'll begin with the rest of the program. So thank you for your attention. We'll be back with you in a few minutes.
We're still here at Dutch's Daughter. We're still here at Dutch's Daughter in the Republican women's table here. Have you tasted food yet?
I have tasted the food.
Is it
awesome.
Good?
It is awesome.
Awesome. Here at Dutch's Daughter. All right. There we go. We have the official word. The food is awesome.
Get this done. In the meantime, we'll go on with our program. I do want to introduce everyone on the Central Committee. Everybody chairman. Over here to my left is Mary Raleigh, our vice chair. Mary, have you stand up and recognize? Kelly Schultz, secretary. I know Bill is here somewhere. I've seen him. Tim Brooks, we've already seen him once. Had the hair tightened up just for tonight, so it looks good. Mike Huff, back in the back over there, Michael Huff. Katie Nash, where is Katie?
Katie!
And the lady who probably put in more hours on this entire banquet than anybody else, lovely lady in green, is Carol Powell. Thank you. To you from the chairman of the Frederick County Annapolis delegation, and that would be our friend Delegate Rick Weldon.
You know, usually when I go to an event like this, I say, I don't need a microphone, but clearly here tonight, I need a microphone. On behalf of your Frederick County legislative delegation, it is an honor to say hello. First of all, it's a great honor to be back home. As pretty as Annapolis is in the springtime, it doesn't hold a candle to Frederick County. We bring a warning. We bring a warning for all of you. And the warning is that great tsunami that's going to crash down on us sometime next fall, more likely next winter, in the form of a sales tax increase, a gas tax increase, potentially even an income tax increase. That's what you get when you have a governor and a majority party in Annapolis who refuse to deal with an obvious issue like a $1.5 billion structural deficit. Next year is going to be a very difficult year for Maryland, ladies and gentlemen. We, your delegation, will need your support as we advocate against tax increases as a way to buy our way back into prosperity on the backs of the people of Maryland. On behalf of the delegation, I know Senator Mooney and Delegate Bartlett can't be with us. They're traveling. And Senator Brooks here. I haven't seen Delegate Sell or Delegate Elliott. But on behalf of all of the delegation, we want to thank you all, and it's good to be back home. It is my distinct honor and privilege at this time to do something that I guess I've gotten to do three or four times over the last 6 or 7 years, and that is introduce one of my political mentors, someone who taught me how to function in Annapolis, and I'm still learning those valuable lessons even after 4 years. He is the minority leader for the Maryland State Senate. He is our senator. He is David Brinkley.
Good evening. We'll try it again. Good evening.
Good evening.
See, I can hear the sounds working over here. We're worried about this back corner here. It is good to be back. And while I say it facetiously, for sometimes, or I guess oftentimes, it is good news when, say, people ask, what good happened down in Annapolis these past 90 days? Well, we adjourned on the 90th day. And that can be a very positive effect because, you know, as we saw from the election, a lot of the policies in this state is heading further and further to the left. And unfortunately for the citizens, and I dare predict, fortunately for us, that I think that the elected Democrats in Annapolis are misreading those tea leaves. Because they're moving further and further to the left. While we all are concerned about the environment and things like that, they're making decisions that don't stop at our borders. When we do a clean cars legislation, and frankly, we deal with California setting those regulations, and give up our sovereignty, that's problematic. And yes, they were even considering in-state tuition for non-resident aliens. The issue isn't whether these individuals can gain access for education, it's should we subsidize it. And that message seems to be falling on some deaf ears. But as Delegate Weldon said, we are headed, they feel they have a mandate to raise taxes, cover some of these programs, and yet they've refused to pare some of these back. And I think that that's where our opportunity lies, frankly, in 2010, when we start to hold our leadership and our leaders accountable for the decisions that are made in Annapolis. It is fantastic to see a great turnout like this, particularly after the election. You know, we're 4 years from the next state election, and to see this type of participation in this county is phenomenal. And you know, when I was in the Central Committee, there is nothing like that feeling, Dino, I said this to you, when you know that your speaker is not going to be able to make it, and your stomach just sinks. And at the time, we had a congressman coming, and the same thing, they were voting, and that's their responsibility, and they have to do that. But we'll have a great alternative on board, and those plans are made, and I think it's going to be fantastic. But again, I, as the minority leader in the Senate, and as the senator from Frederick County, and also Carroll County, thank all of you for contributing to the Central Committee, remaining active, and being a part of tonight. That is just fantastic. Now, I have a long list of introductions here, and I'm going to make them as brief as I can, but yet at the same time, thorough. Because as we focus on 2010, where we want to be, as we improve our standing, the number of seats in the legislature, and even the opportunity to regain the governorship, this is a little art here, isn't it? Art form. These are the people that are, on board and actively working. It's fantastic. From the Baltimore County Central Committee, Gloria Murphy and her husband, former delegate Don Murphy, is right over here at my table. From the Washington County Central Committee, John Dunlap, the chairman, Penny Pittman, and Ray Foltz. From the Carroll County Central Committee, and again, it's an honor also to represent Carroll County. We get to see these folks quite a bit. Larry Helminiak, the chairman, Don Hoffman, Dave Jones, and Diana Jones. Back here. The judge of the Orphans Court for Frederick County, Tim May. We heard him give the invocation. President of our Board of Elections, Mary Lou Green. Clerk of the Circuit Court, Sandy Dalton. Mount Airy Councilman, Wendy Peters.
Paul Smith,
Frederick City Alderman, was here but had to go back for a city meeting. Paul, we're glad you came. Ed, I think representing the whole city staff, we have the First Lady of Frederick, Pam Holzinger, is here for Jeff. You're welcome. You just get that look, it comes back like, how dare he? But Chuck Jenkins, our sheriff.
Charles Jenkins. County Commissioner.
Charles Jenkins, County Commissioner. David Gray, County Commissioner.
Charlie Smith.
Frederick County State's Attorney. You can have your hands full trying to deliver this talk, let me tell you. Chris Shank, the minority whip for the House of Delegates from Hagerstown in Washington County. Thanks for coming down, Chris. Lala Mooney is here for her son, Senator Alex Mooney. And a good friend of mine and gentleman that sits to my left as we're now sitting in the Senate chamber. He's a rapidly rising star in the Republican Party, and that is the Senate Minority Whip, Alan Kittleman, good friend of mine. Alan represents represents District 9, which is western Howard County and southern Carroll County. So it's great to have him here. So that's the rundown. If your name was not mentioned, I have to do this disclaimer.
We love you anyway.
We love you anyway. It's your fault. You didn't sign up on the list. So, but that's what we're trying to run off of here. If I did miss anybody, who's that? Speak up.
Chris Cavey.
Chris Cavey, the chairman of the Baltimore County Central Committee. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm all the way down here from the Mason-Dixon line, and that's a drive. We really appreciate the help and support. Anybody else? Yo.
Judge of the Orphans Court, former mayor, my boss, Jim Grine.
Oh, we can't let the boss slide through. Former Mayor Jim Grine, who's currently on the Orphans Court. And then, of course, I wouldn't be remiss if I didn't introduce Ellen Bartlett, the wife of Congressman Roscoe Bartlett. And Melissa Bartlett, and Joe's daughter,
McKenna,
was here. They just left. They were right here in front. So, thank you all for coming out. This is a great showing, and we're very proud to represent you, very honored to represent you, and we're looking forward to great things in 2010.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay, the Central Committee has a couple of things to put before you all before we get to our main guest speaker. Michael Huff, come on forward. This year, Michael Huff, a member of the committee, came up with an idea, and you'd like to have people on the committee who not only come up with the ideas, but actually take them, run with them, and get it done. That's nice to have. Michael had an idea for a scholarship, and I'm going to let him take the mic and explain to you what we've done at this point. Michael?
What we did is we offered high school seniors a chance to win a scholarship from the Republican Central Committee. In order to win the scholarship, they had to write a 4-page paper about Ronald Reagan and his legacy. And the idea was that we'd get young high school students to learn about Ronald Reagan, a good Republican, and hopefully they'll become Republicans, vote Republican, and help us out here at Frederick. So this year we selected two people. One was Mark Conley. He's in the back. Come on up, Mark. Was Chelsea Reese, who was unable to make it here tonight. I'd like to thank real quick, both students are going to get a $300 check from the Republican Central Committee. I'd like to thank the Cheneys, I'm not sure where they are, they donated $100 towards the scholarship fund. There they are. Thank you very much. And the last person to thank is Senator Mooney was nice enough to donate these books about Ronald Reagan to each one of the students so they can continue their education about Republicans. And he also donated their tickets for them to come here tonight. So thank him, and congratulations, Mark. Keep up the good work. We know you're a Republican. Thank you.
Now we have one more presentation before we get to our guest speaker, and I would ask Kelly Schultz to come up and give the presentation for Republican of the Year.
Hear me now. I'll scream loud if you need me to. Dale, can you hear me back there?
What?
I take that as a yes. Thinking back on the elections of 2006, it's easy for many of us to be disheartened by the outcome. However, there are many bright spots that I can recall, not the least of which is the level of grassroots activism performed by many members and neighbors in here in Frederick County. Whether it was Governor Ehrlich, Lieutenant Governor Steele, or our own local candidates, our grassroots teams went out above and beyond the call of duty. They asked us sometimes to perform in ways that we felt uncomfortable with. We all remember phone games. But we proceeded to do an amazing job for our Republican candidates, and we should all be very proud. There are many people that stick out in my mind as going above and beyond. One person, however, has been voted by this committee to be our 2006 Republican of the Year. Sometimes you get pulled into a situation that you have no idea what to expect. And the person responded to every call, every request, and I never heard one single complaint. Relatively new to the political life in Frederick, she stepped up for anyone that needed help. She made thousands of phone calls over a period of just a few months, mostly at home and in her spare time. She dragged and posted hundreds of very heavy signs, mind you, across the county, recruiting her very big, very friendly football player sons to help her along the way. She helped to design flyers, organize events, and march in parades. She was a constant attendant to all of the fairs around the county and was never without a button or a smile. The biggest help for me, however, was the now infamous infiltration of the 120 homeschool children that came in from across the country. Thank you, Charlie Seymour and Joan McIntyre, for your help on that. And they came into Frederick County. She and her husband were there to transport them to and from the airport, set up phone banking sites, serve foods, which I'll tell you was the kids' favorite activity, and most important to me was to provide moral support. I am very proud of our team effort in Frederick, and I am extremely honored to be able to announce Mrs. Pamela Baird as our 2006 Republican of the Year.
Co-chair for the Steel Campaign, Randy McClement. He did a wonderful job with me. So, thank you very much. I appreciate this.
Okay, let me get to the main speaker of the evening. Now, Senator Brinkley mentioned something, and not maybe everybody in this room might not know at this point. I'm going to tell you this is a good news, bad news situation, so please don't throw things and don't blame me 100% if you can help it. Congressman Tom Tancredo, from a Republican from Colorado, a presidential candidate, had committed to speak at our dinner here for many months. We were very disappointed to hear that this afternoon he and Congressman Bartlett are stuck down on Capitol Hill doing the job that they were elected to do, voting for federal legislation, very important that needed to be here. So Congressman Tancredo is not able to be with us tonight. However, he sent us a video greeting, and since we don't have TV, you're going to hear an audio greeting, but he also sent us an excellent pinch hitter, and we're going to bring her up in a second and give her a nice little introduction. Before I do that, give me 30 seconds, see if I can put this greeting from Congressman Tancredo that he took the time today to take for us so that at least we could hear his voice here in Frederick County. Give me 1 second, and I'll try to do this without hurting anybody's ears.
Thank you.
election process at last minute notice. So I'm sorry that technical difficulties prevent us from playing Congressman Tancredo's greeting to us. However, in his place, we have his campaign manager, and she is a very well-known and respected Republican in her own right. Our speaker was the treasurer for the United States under President Ronald Reagan. She worked on his campaigns. She also worked on her brother's campaigns. Her brother is, of course, Patrick Buchanan. Babe Buchanan is a well-known political commentator with a show on MSNBC and NBC Equal Time. She's also a commentator for CNN. She has been involved in the Team America Political Action Committee, but she is now spending much more of her free time working on Congressman Tancredo's presidential campaign. She is also an author. It gives me great pleasure, and it is our honor here in Frederick County to have as our speaker for this year's Lincoln Reagan Day Dinner, Babe Buchanan.
You're going to have to help me out here. I think this might be better. It's going in and out a lot. Technical difficulties I'm used to, but if the mic doesn't work, I'm in deep trouble. Can you make this go down just a bit? It's a little high for me. And over Tom's head. That should be fine. Let's try that. If this doesn't work, just kind of let me know, and I'll pick it up and try to work it. I want to first apologize that Tom wasn't able to come. And I know it's a great disappointment to you. He's a terrific speaker, a terrific person, and he's turning into one great presidential candidate. I want to tell you, though, I talked to him. I was downtown at a meeting, and he called, and he said, I'm going to have to go over and do this taping. I said, what are you doing a taping for? And he said, well, I can't go to the event tonight. I got to vote. And I said, gee, that's too bad. In the future, you should just talk to me, and maybe I could slip in for you. He said, that's a great idea. I said, no, in the future, Tom, I have jeans on, and I'm downtown, and it's an hour to my house. There's no way I can change. They'll love you just the way you are. I said, no, Tom. And he clicked off, and he proceeded. Generally wear jeans to these type of events. But I want you to note how waist up I'm fine. You know why? Because I do TV. This is how you do. You always dress waist up. They call you the last minute. You're all set. You always, everyone down there, they have jeans and tennis shoes. They always look real smart waist up. So that's how you got me, my CNN look here. I want to tell you a little joke to get started, a little story, I should say. That I rather enjoy. As you heard, I was an author, and my book comes out in about 3 weeks, and it's on Ms. Hillary. Extreme makeover of Hillary Rodham Clinton. And so when I've...
There's not enough makeover in the world.
I started, you know, heard a couple jokes. I picked up a few and just thought I'd just relay this one to you. Three of them, Al Gore, Bill Clinton, and Hillary, find themselves headed to heaven about the same time. I'm sure the vast right wing had something to do with this, but there they are, and the good Lord's there in his throne. And as they approach, he said, all right, I have to ask you all first a few questions. Let me start with you, Al. What do you believe? And Al said, I believe I won that election. He says, but I guess there was a reason that you didn't let me take that White House. I've learned not to have any bitterness in my heart, and I've learned a lot of lessons, and I've moved on. He says, good, Al, that's very good. Why don't you sit right here? Sit here on my left. He says, Bill, what do you believe? And Bill says, I believe in forgiveness, sir, in forgiveness. I have a lot of reason to believe in forgiveness, and I also have a reason to believe that I should forgive others, and I've done a lot of that in my time, and I've learned a lot about it, and so it means something to me. And he said, the good Lord said, Bill, great lesson you learned down there. Take the seat on my right. He says, Hillary, what do you believe? And Hillary says, I believe you're sitting in my seat. And that is Hillary, I will tell you. That is Hillary. We're going to learn a lot more about her in the months ahead. Hopefully, only in the months ahead. I want to talk a little bit, Tom, course, is running for president. I'm just going to kind of tell you a little bit about how he's doing and then more about what the issues are in this country as we face them as Republicans, more importantly, as Americans. Tom is, I know many of you have met him. He's a man that is completely committed to the cause of conservatism. He is a man that's been on that hill, and he's vote right. He's often alone up there, maybe with a few others, including your own good congressman from this area. But he really, truly believes in the principles and values upon which this country was founded and upon which this party once stood. Unfortunately, our party has abandoned many of those principles, but he has been there. And as he's traveled around and become a candidate, I want to tell you something. He has emerged as a terrific, terrific candidate. He went out to Iowa and had a speech, and there were about 8 candidates there, 1,000 people. And this is a true story. People are like, who is this? You know, we're out in Iowa. Who is this? Who's this fellow? There's so many of them, I can't remember them all. And he got up there to speak, and as he spoke, he got stronger and stronger. He had terrific clothes. He got the greatest applause in the room. And if you don't believe me, read the LA Times or the New York Times. Both of them confirmed. He got a terrific applause, standing ovation. C-SPAN carried it. He's walking out. He just wants to get out of the room, get a little air. And this lady comes around, a bunch of people there, and this lady comes out and says, I want to tell you something. I sat there and I said, you started, who is this guy? And then she started talking a little bit more. And he says, who is this guy? She says, I'm going to tell you now, when you finished, I used to be with Giuliani. Today I'm with you. Did that just one 7-10 minute speech. So that's how it's happening out there. There's enormous, enormous momentum for something fresh, something new, somebody with real courage, somebody who really truly believes those things we believe and has the courage and the fortitude to stand up and say them in spite of what the press or the liberals or even our own party leaders might say. That's the man that I'm working for today. I left CNN a couple weeks back to come and join Tom Tancredo's campaign. Now let me tell you what's going on around the country, something you probably are very familiar with, and the reason Congressman Tancredo is running. As we travel this country everywhere, the people in this country are good and great. They remain that way. There's nothing wrong with what's going on in the grassroots, even of our own party. As I traveled from state to state talking about this terrible situation, the crisis the country faces with respect to immigration, people come up and they say, I don't understand it. I don't, can you just explain? Why isn't Washington doing anything? They are there on the front lines. They see what's happening in their communities. They see the burden that's being placed on their schools and the prisons, on the health systems of this country. They see what's happening in their own families as jobs are lost and companies are closing and wages are being suppressed. Why? Just why is all of this happening? Because Washington refuses to do its job. That's it. Washington and our leaders, our Republican Party, who have the House, have the Senate, have the White House, what happened under them? Just forgetting this, putting aside the size of government under them, the fact that they're spending like drunken Democrats, put aside the fact that they've given us the largest entitlement since LBJ, they've allowed 20 million illegals to come into the country under their watch, doing nothing. Nothing to secure our border in a time of war. Nothing to enforce our laws in this land. Absolutely nothing. Too intimidated, too concerned about their own political careers or their ability, their concern about others expressing some kind of intimidation or name calling. They are afraid. These are not leaders. These are not leaders we have in Washington. The leaders are few and far between. I'd like to tell you otherwise. I'm a lifetime Republican. I'd like to tell you that we're back there, we're fighting the good fight. We are not. And that's what the American people saw. And they had a right to throw us right out. And until our party finds the kind of courage, once again, the kind of commitment to the principles upon which this party was founded, upon which this we believe, in which the country was founded, we cannot ask in good faith for their support. So what do we do? What's the problem? I'll tell you what it is. I've studied this. I talked to college kids about it. I don't care if they're the left, the right. This is the problem. What makes a leader? Why is it that our party folded? With a little pressure. Why did we give up everything? It's the politics of intimidation. We fell for it. We accepted it. We accepted that kind of fear that sits in the hearts of people who say they might call me names if I say this. They might cause me difficulty in my district if I do that. That's what happened. And why did that happen? It's because they don't firmly believe as they need to, firmly, with everything they have in their bodies, that that's the direction the nation goes, and they don't have the courage to take us there. And so what happens? If you don't talk about these issues amongst yourselves and then debate them and become, as by the time you become a congressman or a senator, if you're not absolutely certain that this is the way the nation should go and this is what you believe and the words you speak do not define exactly who you are, if that doesn't happen, then a phone call from the party chairman or the party leader or the president of the United States, you fold. You fold. There's a party line vote, you know. What's that got to do with anything? What is a party line vote? It means you're a sheep. A party line vote doesn't mean you're a leader. It means I follow what I'm told to do. That's no good. We need those kind of people that say what they believe. When they run for office, they get elected, and they go back and they say, Mr. President, I have enormous respect for you. I voted for you. I supported you. But you can't call and ask me to do something against my conscience. You can't ask me to do something that is not right, that I don't believe is right. You can't ask me to do something that tells that is completely opposite of what I told the people of my district that I'm going to do. And you cannot ask me to do something that I don't believe is in the best interest of this great country. Other than that, have a good day. That's it. Get into that little niche. You're going to be a party person. You want to have the right offices. You want to have the right committees. You got to please my party chairman and my party leaders and, of course, the president. And then you're nothing. You're just a number. You're just a number that's being counted every time the vote comes through. So what's happened on the other side? The American people are watching their country deteriorate. They are watching firsthand as they lose the nation, the culture, our very identity. And Washington can't hear them. Do you know, as I do TV, as often as I've been doing TV, I constantly hear this. Wolf Blitzer says, well, you know, they'll do it. You know, they represent the people. These congressmen, they didn't vote your way. They don't represent the people. I say to him, look at the polls. Look on one simple, easy issue. The fence. 90% of Americans believe our border should be secure. 90. I'd like to tell you, Wolf. Conservatives, that's it. Well, I'd like to tell you that 90% of the country is conservative. It'd be a left better place. But we're not. Okay? These are liberals and conservatives. These are independents and Republicans. Everyone in the country believes the country should be made secure. That our border should be enforced. All right? But what's happening? Why don't they do it? Why did we not even have a vote for years? Are you traveled? It doesn't matter where you go in this country. They ask, why aren't our laws being enforced? That's pretty basic, isn't it? But is it asking too much of Washington to enforce the laws of the land? If those who disagree with the laws don't have the courage to change them, then they should be enforced. And if you don't like them, you change them. That's how our system is supposed to work. Instead, they ignore them. They ignore the will of the people. They have an ear is completely... They can't hear us anymore. They can't hear us. And if we don't get together and start working to take them out and put the kind of people in there that hear us, we will lose this nation. It's that simple. And you know, you hear people, they complain, they don't do anything in Washington, they don't do this, that. And I say to them, you know, you're just as bad. If all you're doing is complaining, you're just as bad. Because if the government has an obligation, I acknowledge that, the federal government has an obligation to enforce our laws and to secure our border. They do. But if they're not doing the job, we can't just complain about it. We got to do it. We got to take over. And that's what's happening around the country. Cities and states and towns are passing laws and rules to get the illegals out of their community to try to protect their own because the government isn't doing what they are supposed to do. And that's what we need to do. Everywhere along this country, we need to do everything we can. This is our nation. This is our flag. We can't let it just fall. We have to step up to the plate and say, fine, you won't do it? Get out. And I say to the American people, you don't vote for Republicans? I understand that. We'll come back when we have leaders that we can give you somebody to vote for, some principles that we can establish, and we'll tell you we're going to be there for you. But if we don't have that, you shouldn't vote for us. You just shouldn't even bother with us. And then put the liberals in there. Just put them in there for a couple of years. We'll find you some leaders, and you'll see that they're taking us in the wrong direction, and we'll be ready to present a new case with new faces, and that's what this presidential election is about. Don't kid you, we are going to have one heck of a time trying to maintain that White House. History tells us it's gone. We have an unpopular president, and we have an unpopular war. It's just that simple. This modern days, you put those two things together, you have one heck of a time holding that White House. And so what do? We got to do the best we can. We got to find the best man and put him forward, or the best woman, whatever it be, and put him forward and fight like crazy. But when you do that, think back to 1976. You know, we had Ronald Reagan out there. We had Ronald Reagan. He didn't win the primary, but he made his case. And he stood up and he told the American people, this is the way the country should go, this is what I believe in. And everybody dismissed him. And someone else won, and the Republican Party lost the White House. But 4 years later, they said, who is that guy? Where is that guy? And they all started coming together. We started the Prairie Fire. There's no reason to not have hope. We have to have hope. I tell my brother sometimes, he gets a little discouraged. He says, caught him up one day after I read one of his editorials that was basically, oh my gosh, we've lost this and this and this. And I called him up and I said, hey, the battle is not over until we're off the field. And there I am still standing on this field, so don't be calling this game over. We're on the field. We lose when we're off the field. They may have to drag me off, I may be on the ground, but I'm on the field. Because this is my country, and I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to say, when to say it, or what I have to do. I am going to fight for what I believe is right. I have my children's future to look forward to, and I want to be able to turn over to them proudly the country that was turned over to me by my good parents. And that's what all of us have to do. Thank you all very much.
Now, of course, we purchased this for Congressman Tancredo, but he's not here. So if it doesn't make it to his hands, he's not going to know about it.
Carol, could you bring forward the basket, please? You come
with. Every year, we like to bring something to our speakers that speaks to you from our county, Frederick County, Maryland. We have a wonderful.
Before he comes in, can I tell a short story?
Sure, go right ahead. Carol Powell, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
Before my husband comes in, when Otis called me today and told me that Tom Tancredo was not going to show, I come upstairs and the girls that were with me helping me said, well, you know, maybe we can rectify this. We could always call Mrs. Clinton or Obama, because they don't care if they vote. So we'll just have one of them. I said, no, I don't think the Republicans in Frederick County would appreciate that.
Probably not.
But the Central Committee is so happy to present this to a lovely lady who filled in and did a fabulous job.
Agenda before Reverend May leads us out with a benediction, and that is the famous 50-50 raffle that Carol Powell and her cast of thousands have been going around shaking down everyone all night. If I remember the figure correctly, I believe that the winner of the 50-50 raffle is going to pocket $234. Is that right? $234. Okay, so Carol has all the tickets here.
Why don't we have Mrs. Holsinger pick the winning ticket?
You would like Mrs. Holsinger to come pick the winning ticket? Would she like to do that?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady of Frederick, Ann Holsinger.
Don't look.
Okay, here we go. Read that number for us, please.
4, 5, 6, 8,
456-830.
456-830. Commissioner David Gray. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Carroll. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great evening. We really enjoyed having you all here. The conclusion of the evening, I would like Reverend Tim May to come forward, lead us out in prayer. Everyone, drive home safely. Happy to have you here. Very glad to spend time with our friends in Frederick County this evening.
I want to let them know there'll be an audio of this from Frederick.com.
Thank you. And Craig Schiff from Frederick.com has been here, and we have actually taped our proceedings, and there will be an audio link on Frederick.com so you can go back and listen to all of this. Thank you very much, Craig, for doing that. Reverend May, if you would lead us in prayer, please.
Let us pray. Father God, show us your mercy and your grace as we acknowledge that we are a people who are free, and we know that those who are free will always choose peace. Father, we pray this night for our leaders, our president, and all who serve. Father, we pray that you be with them and that their decisions be made through the gift of your strength. Ronald Reagan once said that for the time that we have left, let me live it for the big fellow upstairs. Father, let us live it for the big fellow upstairs. And now may the Lord, who is our shepherd, lead us and strengthen us and anoint us with patience, courage, love, and may God be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everyone have a great evening.